Hi, this is Patrick Neiman from usabilitycounts.com. Today we're going to talk about agile development and how the user experience process fits into it. Me, Michael Vincent, who is the principal of MVASoftware.com and has quite a lengthy career in software development. So, Mike, go ahead and tell the wonderful audience about your background.
Well, let's see. Go way back when, just from a I think an important perspective from a software point of view, that I was a marketing director before I was a software person. So that will give a little bit of perspective, I think, in terms of where I'm coming from. Then I discovered software and had my own consulting business, doing both consulting projects and producing software for resale. And I had that company going for about 18 years. Then moved into working in corporate environments as a software architect and into the consulting space, working on all kinds of things again as an architect.
Yeah, so that's actually a really good point to emphasize, where you're not coming from it as the I'm a pure developer, but you actually have a marketing background and you've seen the needs for business change and how it can affect software development.
Very much so. And even from my marketing background, even though that I don't consider myself to be a specialist in the user experience area, user experience is something that's very, very high on my list of things that influence successful software.
So I was actually on a panel like last Thursday, and one of the points that a lot of user experience professionals brought up is they felt really uncomfortable with Agile and Scrum. You know, Agile is a culture, Scrum is an actual methodology, but they felt comfortable jumping into it because, as one of the professionals stated up front, she said that she felt her manager basically thought that Scrum was go fast and communicate more, and there was no real understanding of how the process works. So how many projects have you worked on where you've actually used a Scrum or XP-like methodology in the development process?
Well, let's see. I've done Agile for probably a dozen years, but it's only been in the last few years that I've really focused more into the Scrum technology. And actually, part of what I do now is I help train and teach and mentor other organizations in that process. I don't consider myself to be an XP expert, but I'm pretty deep into the Scrum processes.
So when you walk into a company, what's the biggest change that you usually have to make to make a Scrum-like process work?
Usually, in most organizations that I've worked with, the developers first and then the designers and architects usually are not my problem. It's the rest of the business. It's very, very important to get your entire business aligned with the development process that you're going to use. And let me step back from that for a bit. Even though you may configure your shop as a Scrum shop, that does not necessarily mean that every project that you touch necessarily needs to be done with Scrum. We always need to look at projects on an individual basis, determine what the best methodology is. And I'll use an example with that of one client that I'm working with is a very large organization that deals primarily in government contracts. They primarily have to work on a waterfall process, but surprisingly enough, the government is now discovering Agile. And so contracts are actually coming to them structured in such a way that we can really start to work on implementing Agile processes, even on these very, very large projects. So the key thing here is that one size does not fit all, even though you may want to structure your organization in a certain way. And of course, the important part is that everyone needs to buy into it, because if your top management, for example, does not buy into a Scrum process, there's not a great probability that it's going to work the way that it's supposed to.
Yeah, that's actually a really key point, because one of the issues I've seen in past projects that I've worked on is the management thought that Scrum meant that they could just walk in at any one point and change the requirements. And while change is good, it really has to happen on 2 to 4 week intervals.
Correct. Agile processes, and I'll speak very much to Scrum, is I think very good at this. Really embrace change, because change is normal, it's natural. Things happen in the business environment, as we currently see in our economically challenged environment right now, that things do change. And so we need to be able to adapt to that and embrace it and provide some type of a competitive advantage to your organization, which means adapting to that change quickly and agilely.
They really wanted to hear real-world examples of what you could do to affect the culture change. What were some techniques that you used with some of your clients to do so?
Well, I have one client here that I've recently worked with that implemented, they're actually going through a Scrum implementation as we speak. They've got it going pretty much full bore at this point in time with one of their project teams. And the way that they're structured, they're a fairly large organization. There's one of the directors was willing to take on the risk and understand how to execute projects more effectively using agile techniques. And we ended up deciding that Scrum was the appropriate general process for them to follow. And it's interesting because they've been able to show already with a track record of delivering workable software, functioning software that their users like and can work with from the user experience perspective already with it. And it's attracting enough attention that now we're looking at working with adopting the other two major groups that handle actually more of the software development in the organization and bringing them on to agile processes and most likely Scrum.
So what were some of the key benefits other than, wow, we got more software out faster that team saw?
Well, the key benefits with it, their process is very user experience driven in a very different way than probably even most of your people would estimate. But what they do is by creating our short iterations and being able to show something that actually works to their customers and to their end users, we're able to get feedback on it rapidly and make the changes so that we've actually got a very, very optimized user experience. And that's really fundamental in terms of selling their particular products.
How much requirements gathering does that client do? Are they writing user stories? Are they doing full use cases? Are they just doing real quick wireframes?
What we're doing is kind of like all of that. But what's different with it is that we're not doing detailed analysis of everything up front. We've got a good overall picture in terms of where everything is going, and for each iteration or each sprint, as you call it in Scrum, each sprint, we're working on the specifics that we need so that basically we're getting requirements documented, user stories created, one sprint ahead of development. and it's actually working out quite well
Yeah,
for us to do that.
that's actually the experience that I have in previous projects where the user experience work that we did was always one sprint ahead.
Now, one of the other things that we did is they're using an overall process methodology with Microsoft's Visual Studio Team system. We went in and we did some custom creation of a front end into the Scrum process that we called Voice of the Customer. And that was where we do our overall requirements gathering and get the big picture story well organized before we start introducing that through the actual sprint backlog process.
So just to kind of take a step back, because a lot of the audience, including myself, we haven't dealt with TFS too often. So
Right.
Team Foundation Server or Team Foundation System, does it have a set of templates that is actually adaptable for Scrum?
Yes, it does. It comes with a couple of other templates for those organizations that are working in a fairly structured environment, CMMI. They have an Agile CMMI template, and then they have a Microsoft Foundation, which they call MSF Agile. And that's what I would call a conservative agile process. It's not radical, but it's easy for organizations to adopt when they're moving, say, from a waterfall to an agile process. Scrum is a little bit more hardcore than the MSF Agile, but Scrum's got many years of development and experience to it as a track record for process. And there are several. We use a particular one in most cases, template for Scrum called the Conchango Scrum. And that process works extremely well for not just of our developers, but bringing our business stakeholders, our project managers, our testers, our release people, all those people into the Scrum process.
So, along the lines of what we're talking about, requirements gathering, it sounds like what that organization is doing is just in time requirements gathering.
Yes, it is. We've got a big picture of it, like you said, from this front end that we created on it called Voice of the Customer. And that really articulates the things that the customers need to see. What we end up doing then is going through those requirements to break them down to a more detailed level. And we take a very strong value look at what we're doing to determine what's going to go in each sprint. So what we're trying to do is work from the top of the heap on down in terms of value that we're adding with each sprint. And we're going to get to a point where all of a sudden the value that we're adding is no longer worth the cost that we put in it, which then says, go on and do something else.
Are they allowing time for refactoring of code and of the user experience?
That's very much a part of the cycle. So what we do is, testing is a big part of it, and testing is, happens both from a development point of view, for the formal testing, and for the user acceptance. And so we may have things that cycle back around, and that's again embracing change. If we see something that's not right in our user experience, for example, or if we see something that's not right in the underlying logic, the faster that we can find it and get it corrected, the less expensive it is, both from a development and from a released software perspective.
Most of the methodologies advocate test-driven development, correct?
That's
So
correct.
in a lot of ways, the developers are given enough requirements to get moving, but also they know what the target is for what they're supposed to build.
That's correct. In a true test-driven environment and process, you're going to actually, a developer is going to write the test first before coding any software, and then try to get that test, which is initially going to fail, to get that test to pass, then refactor to optimize, and then in that process, you're going to be then getting it ready actually for release at the end of a sprint. And now release can be meaning that it's going to go to your formal test process and user acceptance testing and so forth. We don't shortcut those cycles. They're very, very important in the process, but they have to be factored into the sprint. Just because we're doing something in short iterations doesn't mean that we're shortcutting the necessary things in order to produce quality output.
How many sprints has this organization done, and how long are the sprints?
They have been doing Agile, general Agile, for about a year now. They have been doing since the first of the year actual Scrum. So the Scrum process, they're going to need about a year of experience to become mature with the Scrum process. But they're doing quite well with it as they're doing now, because they have come from an Agile background to start from.
Yeah, one of the things that you mentioned earlier, it's really not one size fits all. What do some of the organizations that you've worked with, what have they done to adapt the process to fit their needs?
Well, key thing that you need to look at is making sure that your business stakeholders understand the process that you're working through. And actually, once they understand how we're working through things, they actually take to it better than they do an actual waterfall process. The reason is because they're getting output that they can measure fairly quickly. And we're able to pass judgment on things in terms of, you know, hey, were my requirements good or not? Did you produce what I wanted? Oh, yeah, you produced what I said. Was that what I really wanted or not? That's part of the process that we're closing up. And actually, it can work quite effectively once we get things spun up. So it's a big cultural thing, as actually more so than it is technical. The culture change is what's important. The other part of it is to look at the kind of reports that we're going to get from a project management perspective. And then the reports that you'll get with Scrum, for example, are not the same kind of reports that you would get from a waterfall process. Reports on Scrum are really dealing with how you're doing and looking forward, rather than what I call looking over the back of the boat, which is usually what you have on a waterfall process.
While the boat is sinking. We've all been on Scrum projects or Agile projects that have failed or have not performed as well as we had hoped. What were the takeaways from those where you saw issues that could have been corrected but weren't?
Well, I had one that was fairly dramatic, in that we had buy-in on a project from a high-level executive management. We had buy-in from the user, from the business stakeholders, and we didn't have buy-in, but we didn't know this until we got into the project. We didn't have buy-in from the project management people. We were implementing and actually quoted the project as Agile, and had a fairly decent breakdown in terms of how we were going to, from an overview, going through the iterations that we would need in order to complete the project. And once everything was signed, we got in and started working with them, then we found this whole other organization that came out of their project management group that only understood how to do everything in an Agile sense. And it put the project on a bridge to nowhere pretty quickly. What finally came out of it was some people changes on both sides, some executive level stepping in and realigning everything, and the project ultimately did get to completion successfully, but not without a lot of pain and drama in between, and probably a bit of a fair amount of wasted investment with it in the process.
What kind of software products or website projects work well with for Agile, and what does not work so well?
I'm not certain in terms of what would not work well, given that we can get that organizational buy-in, I guess, from an Agile point of view. The biggest challenges are those where you have a contractual structure that is basically waterfall-based. So that's going to be your toughest challenge, whether that's a web project or whether it's a fat client project. They all tend to work that way. From a true web perspective point of view, I think it's very, very well-suited to Agile methodologies. Again, most web projects have, even though they have may have a lot of logic under the hood, they've got to be very, very attuned to the user experience. And if you don't get the user experience right, you well know, and I well know, that the web project is not really going to make it. So getting that UX correctly is very important, and Agile fits extremely well with that in my mind.
Yeah, there was one particular project that I knew that you were the chief architect on, and you guys did a really good job of stepping out sections of it, where you had a good portion of the user experience done, but there were a lot of questions that had to be answered. And one of the elements that the client was really happy with was they got to see progress on a continual basis.
Yeah. The danger of that is that we had a lot of visual process and progress sometimes, but the underlying logic still needed more effort than and the customer realized. And that's always something in terms of managing expectations. But again, that's where Agile works very well, because you need to have the customers actually committed into your detailed iteration process. They can't be standing off on the sidelines. You need to embrace them and involve them in your processes. And when you do that, you get things solved really, really easily from a comparative sense.
So instead of being, you're going down the wrong path for 3 years, you go down the wrong path for 3 weeks, and you're able to move in a much quicker fashion.
Absolutely, that's correct. And there's a lot of actually from an architectural and a visual design process, usually there's a lot of good aha moments that come through this short iteration process that you wouldn't otherwise have.
And one of the fears that a lot of user experience professionals face is that there is no holistic view of the application, because you're so focused on completing a single task. What are some techniques that you've used to keep that holistic view front and center while still getting the tasks done?
The first of it, I think, is, and this goes back to with that client where we helped build that that front end to Scrum, which we called the voice of the customer. And hopefully in that overall document or description, it can be a single document or it can be a series of documents that can describe really what you're overall trying to accomplish. And that needs to be, at the 10,000 foot level, so to speak. And by being able to do that and then approaching things from a good practices or best practices approach, we're able to actually work, I think, quite well with that. And there's two things that have to play with that. One is that your business logic needs to be put together in such a way that you're trying to use generic services to the largest extent possible. And then you can get down into specifics, but we're always thinking about reusability to the future, even though we don't know what that future may hold for us. And then the same goes from the user experience. The user experience is usually a bit easier to adopt to as long as I have the functionality on the underlying logic that can work with it. I can build a much more user experience much more quickly than I can underlying logic. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, so that concludes our podcast. We don't want to bore them to death about agile development. But his name is Michael Vincent. He runs a company called MVASoftware.com. He does do consulting for agile development and other software-related architecture services. So if you have any more questions about it, you can definitely contact him and ask him more questions, or you can do it straight through me on usabilitycounts.com. Thanks, Mike, for coming on the show.
Great. I appreciate it, Pat, and hope to do more in the future with you guys.
Great. So, okay. Thank you very much, and catch us next week on usabilitycounts.com.